Chapter 61. I think I have a little Maggie. Apostrophe a little. Oh. Apostrophe, but it's all over now, all over for good, Maggie. And my head is much better and cooler, and I am quite comfortable. I am very glad I did not go down. Apostrophe, her great staring child tenderly embraced her, and having smoothed her hair, and bathed her forehead and eyes with cold water, offices in which her awkward hands became skillful, hugged her again, exulted in her brighter looks, and stationed her in her chair by the window. Over against this chair, Maggie, with apoplectic exertions that were not at all required, dragged the box which was her seat on storytelling occasions, sat down upon it, hugged her own knees, and said, with a voracious appetite for stories, and with widely opened eyes, "Now, little mother, let's have a good un." Apostrophe, apostrophe, what shall it be about, Maggie? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, let's have a princess. Apostrophe, said Maggie, and let her be a regular one. Beyond all belief, you know. Apostrophe, little Dorrit considered for a moment, and with a rather sad smile upon her face, which was flushed by the sunset, began, "Maggie, there was once upon a time a fine king, and he had everything he could wish for, and a great deal more. He had gold and silver, diamonds and rubies, riches of every kind. He had palaces, and he had apostrophe hospitals." Apostrophe, interposed Maggie, still nursing her knees. "Let him have hospitals, because they're so comfortable. Hospitals with lots of chicken." Apostrophe, yes, he had plenty of them, and he had plenty of everything. Apostrophe, plenty of baked potatoes, for instance. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Maggie. Plenty of everything. Apostrophe, lore. Apostrophe, apostrophe, chuckled Maggie, giving her knees a hug. Wasn't it prime? Apostrophe, this king had a daughter, who was the wisest and most beautiful princess that ever was seen. When she was a child, she understood all her lessons before her masters taught them to her, and when she was grown up, she was the wonder of the world. Now, near the palace where this princess lived, there was a cottage in which there was a poor little tiny woman, who lived all alone by herself. Apostrophe, an old woman, apostrophe, said Maggie, with an unctuous smack of her lips. No, not an old woman. Quite a young one. Apostrophe, I wonder she weren't afraid, apostrophe, said Maggie. Go on, please. Apostrophe, the princess passed the cottage nearly every day, and whenever she went by in her beautiful carriage, she saw the poor tiny woman spinning at her wheel, and she looked at the tiny woman, and the tiny woman looked at her. So, one day she stopped the coachman a little way from the cottage, and got out and walked on, and peeped in at the door, and there, as usual, was the tiny woman spinning at her wheel, and she looked at the princess, and the princess looked at her. Apostrophe, like trying to stare one another out, apostrophe, said Maggie. Please go on, little mother. Apostrophe, the princess was such a wonderful princess, that she had the power of knowing secrets, and she said to the tiny woman, "Why do you keep it there?" This showed her directly, that the princess knew why she lived all alone by herself spinning at her wheel, and she kneeled down at the princess's feet, and asked her never to betray her. So the princess said, "I never will betray you. Let me see it." So the tiny woman closed the shutter of the cottage window, and fastened the door, and trembling from head to foot for fear that anyone should suspect her, opened a very secret place, and showed the princess a shadow. Apostrophe, lore. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Maggie. It was the shadow of someone who had gone by long before. Of someone who had gone on far away, quite out of reach, never, never to come back. It was bright to look at, and when the tiny woman showed it to the princess, she was proud of it with all her heart, as a great, great treasure. When the princess had considered it a little while, she said to the tiny woman, "And you keep watch over this every day." And she cast down her eyes, and whispered, "Yes." Then the princess said, "Remind me why." To which the other replied, that no one so good and kind had ever passed that way, and that was why in the beginning She said too, that nobody missed it, that nobody was the worse for it, that someone had gone on. To those who were expecting him, apostrophe, someone was a man then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, interposed Maggie. Little Dora timidly said yes, she believed so, and resumed. Apostrophe had gone on to those who were expecting him, and that this remembrance was stolen or kept back from nobody. The princess made answer, ah. But when the cottager died it would be discovered there. The tiny woman told her no. When that time came, it would sink quietly into her own grave, and would never be found. Apostrophe, well, to be sure. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Maggie. Go on, please. Apostrophe, the princess was very much astonished to hear this, as you may suppose, Maggie. Apostrophe,
and well she might be, apostrophe, said Maggie.
So she resolved to watch the tiny woman, and see what came of it. Every day she drove in her beautiful carriage by the cottage door, and there she saw the tiny woman always alone by herself spinning at her wheel, and she looked at the tiny woman, and the tiny woman looked at her. At last one day the wheel was still, and the tiny woman was not to be seen. When the princess made inquiries, why the wheel had stopped, and where the tiny woman was, she was informed that the wheel had stopped, because there was nobody to turn it, the tiny woman being dead. Apostrophe,
they ought to have took her to the hospital, apostrophe, said Maggie, and then she'd have got over it. Apostrophe,
the princess, after crying a very little for the loss of the tiny woman, dried her eyes, and got out of her carriage at the place where she had stopped it before, and went to the cottage and peeped in at the door. There was nobody to look at her now, and nobody for her to look at, so she went in at once, to search for the treasured shadow. But there was no sign of it to be found anywhere, and then she knew that the tiny woman had told her the truth, and that it would never give anybody any trouble, and that it had sunk quietly into her own grave, and that she and it were at rest together. That's all, Maggie. Apostrophe, the sunset flush was so bright on little Dorrit's face, when she came thus to the end of her story, that she interposed her hand to shade it. Had she got to be old? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Maggie asked. The tiny woman? Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know, apostrophe, said little Dorrit. But it would have been just the same, if she had been ever so old. Apostrophe, would it, Raleigh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Maggie. Well, I suppose it would though. Apostrophe, and sat staring and ruminating. She sat so long with her eyes wide open, that at length little Dorrit, to entice her from her box, rose and looked out of window. As she glanced down into the yard, she saw Panks come in and leer up with the corner of his eye as he went by. Who's he, little mother? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Maggie. She had joined her at the window, and was leaning on her shoulder. I see him come in and out often. Apostrophe, I have heard him called a fortune teller, apostrophe, said little Dorrit. But I doubt if he could tell many people even their past or present fortunes. Apostrophe, couldn't have told the princess hers? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Maggie. Little Dorrit, looking musingly down into the dark valley of the prison, shook her head. Nor the tiny woman hers? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Maggie. No, apostrophe, said little Dorrit, with the sunset very bright upon her. But let us come away from the window. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.